I'm going to start recording so I don't forget.
Shall we stay unmuted or muted?
You can stay unmuted for now, but if it gets noisy, I'll mute you. You know, when we have a small group like this, but you never know. Sometimes it just gets. There's Carol.
Hey.
Couldn't start without Carol. Hey, we're all right on time, so no problem. Yudo's not here, but let's get started. So, everybody, first I want to just explain something to you regarding your screen. If what you see is my face and then you see names across the top, right? If you want, if you go up to the top right corner, you'll see the little grid called Gallery View. If you click on that, then you'll see everybody all at once, including me. So you might want to look at that view. It doesn't really matter either way. But somebody asked me about that, and that's I generally will have it on speaker view, so when someone's talking, I can see and talk directly to them. But you control it from your end. Is that clear? Anybody confused about that? No? Okay, good. And I want to talk about the little action support system, the ASS system, now colloquial called the kick-ass system. So I just want to share this with you. Let's see. So there it is. And, you know, you can see how many people have been participating. You see that Sharon wasn't around for a long time. And Nancy hasn't been around too much. She's only posted a couple times. Some people have posted several times. Fine if you don't post on the weekend. So I'm going to make a new request. I said, let's try to do it 3 to 5 times. I want to make a request that you post every day. And, you know, I've been talking to the people at Finnish Agent who are experts in this. I can't remember if I told you this, but Finnish Agent was created by someone who was a follower of my ideas, and she studied the InfoGuru manual and did a lot of things. And she worked with PhD candidates that were not writing their dissertations, and she was supporting them. And she got this idea one day, why not create an online support system so they actually finish their dissertation? And it's been extremely effective for that. And she's worked with hundreds and hundreds of people with this. And she says, Robert, I found that when people post every day, people get better results. It's as simple as that. But when you think of this and you go to it, it only takes about 5 minutes, and everybody has 5 minutes a day. Now, you might forget it, but you could put a post-it on your computer or something. But just go in, and as I said before, you don't have to answer every single question. You might just say what you're working on in a few comments. It doesn't matter. Then you might look at a few other people's posts and give comments. Some people are doing that. We're really starting to get some momentum with this. So I recommend, and I really urge you to do it every day. And the more we do that, the more of a community we'll start to feel like, and people will know where people are working on, and they'll be inspired by some, and they'll be supporting others. And really, it's very powerful. So I really want to encourage you to do that. Okay? Any questions about any program logistical things that we need to handle before we move on? Any questions at all or comments? Nobody? Okay. Okay, so let's just stop the share for that. So the first thing I want to talk about is your HEOB letters. And I only have one question to begin with. What are you learning from this process? And I'd like everybody to say something briefly. So who would like to go first? If people don't want to go first,
this is Sarah Jane.
Yes, hi Sarah, front and center.
So I'm learning that that it's very hard to follow your structure.
Okay. Yeah, what else about that?
What do you mean, what else about that?
Well, we have a structure. It's hard. It's kind of like, I got it. But I will say something. I'm okay with some variations on the structure, but I have some individual clients I'm working on in the same place, and they're working on the HEOB. And one guy, who's a tremendously smart guy, he owns a software company, HEOB, and when it got to explaining exactly what he did, where he should have had two sentences for this is the step in the process, he wrote a page for every one of these. And I said, you're just overwhelming people. So, you know, you can try whatever you want, but I'll look at it. And it might work with slight variations, but in many cases, it won't that well. So this format is not perfect because there's no such thing as a perfect format, but it works pretty well. It covers most of the bases. If anything, maybe a couple things might seem too repetitive.
Maybe. Yes.
I think I've covered that well enough. And in your when you send it to me, you might say, this section I think I've covered pretty well here. That'd be okay with me. But don't go off in a completely different direction. It just probably won't work too well. Okay? But thanks. So you sent it in. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'll be looking at it later today and give you some feedback today. Okay, who else?
I'll go.
What are you learning from the process?
Hi, this is Nancy. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm learning that I put everybody else first before my thing. And I have a feeling I'm using that as a strategy. I feel my dog is going to be annoying. I don't know what to do, but I do know. But there's something in there, like I feel like I'm going to do it wrong.
Yes.
Procrastinate.
Okay.
So I do things for everybody else.
Put up your hands if everyone else can totally relate to that. No? That you put others first before yourself, and you're always doing other things instead of your own stuff that you need to be working on? Come on, everyone should be able to relate to that. So this is something we'll be talking about a lot in the program, in superficial levels or in deeper levels. And I even posted a comment to someone about this today, is try to identify the belief underneath that behavior. Right now, don't even worry about doing something about it. Just notice what that belief is. Mm-hmm. In other words, what are you telling yourself that seems true to you? But when you really examine it, maybe it's not true. It's just a belief. It's fantasy in many cases. So I should take care of everybody else before myself. Is that true?
No.
No. Are other people important to take care of?
Yes.
Yes. Are you important to take care of?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Will anyone else take care of your business stuff for you?
I wish they would.
Yeah, you want me to come to the rescue and just write it all for you, right?
And there's this other piece. There's this fear. So there's this. It is true that I put others before me, but I can also see that there's this fear that I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to blow it. And so it's so crazy because that's so far from what you asked me to do. But because of that, it makes it really easy to say I have to do those other things first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that. It's a pattern that everyone has. When, in fact, the guy that I just mentioned, the software guy, I said, let me look at it and I'll give you some direction on it. And I put that off for a couple of days because it was like, oh, my God. What have I gotten myself into here? Actually, it was pretty easy to give him feedback. But we avoid things that we see that they're going to be difficult or face any potential pain. And the pain is like really imaginary. We're just imagining the pain. When we do it, it actually isn't really painful. The thought of it doing it is more painful than doing it almost always, right? Mm-hmm. So you just be aware of that. Be aware that your mind has its own agenda. And then you actually have intentions And then you have part of your mind, I wouldn't say your whole mind, part of your mind is telling you, I don't want to do this, I'll blow it, it won't be good enough. And then you feel that sort of feeling that you're lying to yourself, or you're holding back, or you, whatever. And then as you do all these other things, you're feeling a little guilty because the thing you really have to do is all that stuff, right? But it starts by looking at beliefs and questioning that belief. What would I have to believe to be doing this right now? And
so
often that can pop. Yeah, Sarah Jane?
So, Nancy, I have a suggestion and an offer.
Okay.
And they're like one and the same thing. Would you like to make an appointment with me, and we'll start doing that together to get you get started, and that will then get you on a roll?
Nancy, you muted yourself.
That would be great. Would that help you also, Sarah Jane?
No, I'm okay. Thank you, but I'd be happy to do that with you.
I know it. I can't even help it. Like I do that automatically. I can see laughing, Leanne.
Okay, you know, there's a lot of people in this group. For instance, Roberta, Sarah Jane, Leanne, Carol. Are all coaches, plus me. So if you want to say, hey, I can really relate to that, I'll support you a bit, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
we could do it by a commitment to times to connect by in writing too, Sarah Jane. That'd be okay.
We could do Skype and also writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Thanks. But I do want to warn you about something, Sarah Jane. This has happened in last group. Mm-hmm. People that are helping people so much that they're not doing their own stuff. So
I'm aware of that.
Yeah. So it's, again, you know, Sarah's helping somebody else instead of herself. But it's fine, too. If you want support from somebody or you connect with somebody and you say, hey, I'll give you a little support and talk to you, that's fine. And if you need a little extra support from me and want to chat with me briefly, I can sometimes fit you in for a few minutes too. So
thank you.
Okay. Okay. So what else are you learning from this process?
So this is Leanne. I'll say one thing that's been really helpful is it rolls right into my verbal marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
give me an example of that.
Like when I talked to that potential new client who turned into a new client on Wednesday, you know, I took one of the phrases right out of the ATOB and kicked off with it and said, is that what you want? He said, yes. I said, all right, you're in the right place.
Yeah, that's what makes this letter such an important document, because it's so much about here's what you get, and here's the pieces of what you get, and here's the advantages of what you get. And so that, by putting a lot of work and time and thought into that, you actually start drawing from that. This is one of the biggest benefits of writing marketing materials. You become much more articulate about your services. And we can get interest, we can get engagement from somebody reading what we have, but we get sales from talking to people. And so it's the same material. It's just that one is written and one is talking. One is, you know, in the moment discovery. So, yeah, you want to be, and another way you could look at it in the reverse is, what am I saying that seems to work all the time? Make sure that's in the letter. Because I'm often interviewing people and they say, well, what I really do is blah, blah, blah. And I say that all the time. And I say, do you have that written down anywhere? And they go, no, I don't. Well, make sure that's in your letter, because that was a really good expression that for me was very persuasive about how whatever it is you do works and how it helps people. So it's one of the same thing. Marketing is, if I haven't said it before, 100% communication. So however you're communicating, verbal, through a class, through a video, through a presentation, through your written materials, it's all communication. It has to have consistency. The more you write, the more consistent it is. And as you start to work on other pages of your website, you know, I'm starting to get into some of those pages with some people already. But as we get into that, you'll see, well, that builds the consistency. Here are the people I work with. Here's a bit about how I work. Here's the testimonials or case studies of people I've worked with, et cetera, et cetera. And it all hangs together. And then a miraculous thing happens is that all of a sudden, well, sometimes gradually, it happens in whatever way it does, you just start to feel confident talking to people. It just starts to happen. We're actually going to visit that in a few minutes. So we're tying the writing into the speaking about your business really quickly. Okay, so thanks, Leanne. It's a great point, one of my most important points about writing this material. So can you raise your hands if you found that's true for you already, that you're starting to speak about your business somewhat differently or better since you've started to write? Anybody? Okay, some people yes, some people not yet. Okay. All right, who's next? What have you learned from this process so far? Oliver.
I found that I was drifting for the last few years and basically taking whatever business came along because I was in the right place at the right time and finding stuff, right, and really not doing what I wanted to do and taking a lot of stuff that didn't pay very much, but I was doing it and busy all the time. And now I've got a focus, and I really, for the first time in a long time, I pretty much know what I want to do, and maybe even more so what I don't want to do.
And what you don't want to do, yes.
That's and the writing is helping a lot.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy to do that sales letter.
How many hours did it take you?
Oh, you know, I had done it years ago, so I kind of dragged that out, but it took me over a week, probably, because I would do it for half an hour, and drop it and come back and do it again. I'll bet you it took 8 or 10 hours. It's just, and it's not done. It's done, but now I got to go back and fine tune it and whatever. But
tell people what you did and how you're changing it.
Well, I was, I looked at your program and I thought, okay, here's a way to go without a lot of hassle. I'll go find a bunch of people to put in a sales management mastery program, because it's one of the areas where a lot of companies fall down. They spend a lot of time training salespeople. They send CEOs to chief executive forums and everything else. But sales managers and VPs of sales typically are yanked either out of the sales force because they were really good salespeople, or they're sons of bosses or whatever. But they don't get any training. They're going, okay, you're a good sales guy. You can teach everybody else how to do it. And it's a whole different paradigm. So it's a weak spot in almost every company I've ever worked with. And there are lots of things.
Oliver, focus on how you created this program and what different way you're going to do it and why.
Well, then I thought, all right, I can drag some people into a program and do group stuff and teach them. But unfortunately,
what is the word drag? Not a great marketing term.
No, it's not a great, but you know what?
I just drag some people in. They'll just do what I want.
So
it's good if you're talking about the competition.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So I'm looking at people from previous contacts or getting referrals, but people who are struggling with the sales management part and taking them one-on-one and coaching them for a year, 2 years, whatever it takes. So they deliver results. And it's results-driven. And I feel with the right people, they can pay a premium price as opposed to, you know, buying a collection of CDs or whatever that doesn't do anything, because people don't do it on their own anyway. Look at us. Why are we here?
Right. Yeah, well, the point I wanted to make with you, Oliver, is that you wrote a sales letter, HOB letter, for a group program.
Correct.
And I told you that I don't think a group program is viable for you right now.
Yeah.
You're going to do it for individual companies.
Correct.
That's an important thing. Some people see what I'm doing and say, well, I can just clone that. And the reason most people aren't successful with that is they don't have a big enough list to generate people to drag into your program.
Yeah.
you know, I gave you my numbers, you know.
Yeah.
1,000 people get my email, 2,500 look at it, 50 apply, or this time it was less, maybe 30, and 10 or 15 end up in the program. So the numbers have to be pretty big to do a group program. If I didn't have the list, I could fill it with intensive speaking engagements. It would be more work, obviously, and you know, and all of that, because I gave a talk in 2009 before my first program started, and from that talk, 7 people came into the program, so that was significant. So you can, but if you're trying to do a group program, you've got to be realistic about your potential audience out there, and for most people, it's not the thing to do. Now, there is an exception. Carol Bombardier is doing a shorter program, a hypnosis program called the Mindful Body. And she has a lot of people on her list and past clients, et cetera. So I think she has a good chance of filling that and getting 10 or 20 people. But it's not a really long program. It's a shorter program. So, you know, this is useful to you know, when you've got a great idea, run it past me and we'll look at the reality or non-reality. Okay. All right. So, Hill, who else? Let's hear from everybody. What have you learned? We've got Carol, Sarah, and Udo, and Roberta to share yet.
I'll go.
Well, I can start. Oh, okay. Go on.
You can be next, Udo.
So, first of all, I need to call the letter, like, a draft. Not, I'm writing the HEOB letter, but I'm writing, you know, the draft, because that takes away that perfection thing. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm just writing a draft. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see what comes out. And more times than not, most of it is good, you know, good enough to
yeah.
you know, use. So that's one thing. You know, what you call it is helpful.
Yeah, it's kind of a mindset. So Carol got hers to me first really quickly. And I looked at it and I said, it's all good. It needs some fine tuning and some wordsmithing, and then we fine-tuned some stuff, and we sent it to a proofer, and then I looked one more time. We've got one final touch that you're going to do it, and it's ready to go up. So it's this willingness to have it not be perfect the best you can. It's just, I'm writing a draft. And a lot of people don't think that way. It's got to be perfect. That just puts too much pressure on you. Mm-hmm. So great job. Yeah. So what else?
What was I going to say? That it's really easy to overcomplicate it. And I felt the same too about the repetition when I was going through the sections. It seemed like, well, didn't I just answer this? You know, but then I thought, all right, let's just, and one thing I did was I did not look at the examples and I did not look at your letter, because once I have those ideas in my head, it's really hard to be original. So I did look at it. I went through every section.
But you went through the instructions.
Huh?
You went through the instructions.
I did. No, I read the instructions, but I didn't look at the sample.
Okay.
Until after I did my whole thing. And then I realized, you know, with the repetition, it's just, you know, yes, it is repetitious, but it's just saying the same thing maybe in a slightly different way, which is good because people need the repetition to let the idea sink in. And, you know, that's it's what you're after anyway. So, but just kind of keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it.
When I read her program, I said, if I was in her area, I would sign up for it. It sounds like just the thing for me. Mainly, it was not for losing weight, but it was for me, I thought, wellness and relaxation and less tension, less stress. I know I look like a relaxed guy, but I have a lot. I do have stress. I thought, oh, it just sounds so great. And we go all through all this stuff. In the last half hour, you did this hypnotic thing. And
you lay down.
Wow, that sounds just great.
Yeah.
It really resonated with me. So I figured it would resonate with other people.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Anyway, so great. Great job.
Thanks.
Okay. Udo's next.
Okay. What's the biggest insight for me? Well, since I'm starting a new service company now, I use the HOB letter to help me design the services more. I get a better high-level view of the services I want to provide. that helped me a lot at the moment because I get more clear on what I want to do and how to present it. So this was very helpful and a big insight this week for me too. So yes, this had an example I write about the ultimate outcome. First draft was about 2 pages. And now I cut it down to around 6 sentences.
What's the first sentence of your ultimate outcome?
It's in German still. It's not in English translated. So let me check it first. but the biggest ultimate outcome is that we work together to. I have to remind you that I'm doing website optimization still. So the biggest outcome is when we work together, we have 3 months to optimize your conversion rates, to optimize the revenue that you get per customer, per visitor you get from your site.
Okay.
And in the long term, you get a better insight how your customers are, how they work on your site, and what do they expect from you on your site. So there's a customer journey on your site that we develop together, that we optimize, and you get better insight. So this is helpful for you.
Okay. You know, that piece that I have, it's near the top of the letter. It's the second or third piece. It's here's my ultimate outcome. You want your ultimate outcome to be one sentence. And then you can have sub-outcomes that are...
It is one sentence. In German, it's one sentence. I have to translate it better, yeah.
Yeah. One German sentence, 15 American sentences, right?
Yeah.
German uses more words than we do to say something for whatever reason.
Not always. Sometimes we use lesser words. Sometimes we need more words. Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
In business terms, English is easier. You use less words for sometimes for things. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you know the sub outcomes really support the big outcome. But you know when you talk to somebody, you don't want to give them all the other sub outcomes to begin in the conversation.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this as we go. It's a conversation starter, and as you go, you might mention some of the other things. But you have to realize people only have a certain span of attention. In a written form, it's different. It's like I'm reading this letter. In a conversation form, you have to just get something goes, oh, that's interesting. So it's all about getting more response from your website is really what you're about, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So good. Perfect. Yeah, one of the things that you'll get from this is really what your business is about, really what it's about and what your clients really get and the difference that it makes. And it shifts things for you. Okay, how about Roberta? Or Sarah, she unclicked first. Go ahead.
Okay. So I guess I learned a couple of things. Getting started was really hard for me. So just maybe about some of my inner resistance. So... the perfectionism, I think, really, again, stands in my way. And the tip about calling it a draft, I think, is so powerful for a girl like me, because if it's just a draft, I can work on it. If it's a letter, then I'm so consumed with making it a perfect product that it makes it really, really hard to work on and hard not to procrastinate about.
Right.
I found the process really useful in helping me think about, like, not just think about how to package my services, but think clearly about that outcome. So I had lots of ideas about what I wanted to provide, but that ultimate outcome piece is just really about bringing it all together. And I think that was a really, really powerful process for me. Like, yeah, looking at the bigger picture. So, it's still not quite done, but I do think that I've gotten far. So,
okay, very good.
Yeah.
We have to remember that what our clients buy is the ultimate outcome. And another way of saying that is our clients buy the future from us. They don't buy the program. You know, in the real physical world, yes, they do buy the program, but ultimately that's what you've bought. You've bought the future that is a business that's growing, you're making more money. It's consistent. You have got a process. You feel confident. That's what you bought. You know, if you bought it just so you could be on video conference calls with me and talk to me, it's just silly. Why do that? You can do other things. So it's all about getting those results.
I love that phrase, buying the future.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that happens in the selling process is you kind of talk about two things. First of all, you talk about where are you right now? What's going on? What's working? What's not working? Blah, blah, blah. Then you talk about the future. Where do you want to go? So I call those conversations for the future. You have to understand where someone is and what their situation is and where they're struggling first before you can talk about the future. But ultimately, people buy that future. So you've got to really, what are you doing, Leanne? It looks like you're exercising as you're doing this.
So this would be a good time to tell you that, you know, since I signed up for this in December, I had client meetings scheduled and meet, you know, around these times. And so I'm going to be in motion for the rest of the call. If you like, I'll take the video off as I, you know, transition from this space to over to my client. So.
You're gonna drive somewhere?
Yeah, I got to drive somewhere.
Okay.
But so I'll probably just call in and turn off the video.
Okay.
Okay, well, but.
If we know what's going on, we can include it. If we don't know, fine, what the hell's going on, okay?
I'm sorry. I promise. Now that I have them on my calendar, it should be, you know, consistently that I'm in one space, so.
Right. Okay, good.
Okay.
So great, thanks. Yeah, working around things can be tricky. So I was talking to Sarah, and Sarah has disappeared. Are you here, Sarah, somewhere? There you are.
I'm here, yeah.
And so... Another tip I want to give to everybody about writing this or anything else, writing fast and imperfectly is a lot easier than writing slow trying to be perfect, because your mind is always coming in and second guessing and editing as you go. And, you know, I write an e-zine every single week of about 750 words, so I've gotten pretty good at this. And I write fast. And then sometimes I'll go back over it and it's a hot mess and I have to do more editing, and sometimes it's pretty good and I have to do less, but I'm not overthinking it. I'm just letting the ideas tumble out, and I've got sort of a basic format. You know, I've thought about it ahead of time. So write fast, edit slow. You'll find that useful. You know, I asked someone recently, well, how long does it take you to write an e-zine article? And they said, oh, about 10 hours. I said, at that rate, doing an e-zine is unsustainable. It's impossible. You can't do that. 10 hours is too much. But if you can learn how to do it in a couple hours, it can be sustainable. That's what I've done for 17 years every Monday. So you can make your writing sustainable. There's some really good stuff in the club about writing that we can visit later. A great interview with my editor, Daphne Gray Grant, that talks about how to write faster, easier, and better. And so that's something you might want to look on under expert interviews if you're really struggling with this. Okay, is there anyone else? I think there was one more person or not. Are we done?
No, I have.
Roberta, go ahead.
Well, I agreed with Leanne about how writing it has helped me articulate it. I've used it, I think I mentioned in one of my posts that I used it almost immediately when I was talking to a client in an initial conversation.
Right.
And so it's been really helpful. I had a lot of material written, and it was really a good structure for me to pull together and refine material that I already had. I do know that it's really long. I mean, for putting it on my website, I mean, as a Word doc, it's almost 6 pages. So it's going to be incredibly long. And
I made $600,000 with a 15-page sales letter. So there. Right. It's not too long.
All right. You know, I'm trusting you by putting it on there. It just feels really long.
Well, I want to see it online. If it's well formatted and you're using bolding text and small paragraphs and colored sub stuff, it goes faster because it's easy to just sort of chunk it. Look, here's the thing to remember. People don't read your letter word from word from top to bottom. Never. They might go back and do that, but what people do first is they scan it. They've got their little mouse, and they're scanning it, and they're looking for meaning and getting it in every paragraph without reading everything in every paragraph.
Okay, so the thing
that's how people read.
Right, and I mean, I'm trusting you with this because I've signed up for this program because I went back and read your marketing piece on this, which is the same format, many times, looking back, getting figuring it out. So my logic here is that somebody that's the right client for me wants all of this. Somebody that doesn't, it's going to be long. So I'm trusting in that. Now, we do have a challenge here because my current website is not allowing me to bold, and I can create different colors, but each paragraph has to be all the same. And so I think I've mentioned that in a post that I sent to you. So we'll see how it goes. I just got the material back from my editor this morning, and so either this afternoon or tomorrow I'll be able to go.
Do you have a website person that you can work with on that?
No, I'm having a website challenge.
Okay. Well, I got a website guy that might be able to do that for you.
We can talk about that.
He's pretty good at going in and being able to tweak things. He might have to go into the HTML and make some changes.
Okay, so we can talk. You can give me his number and I'll get a hold of him.
But you might not be able to do the Control B for bold.
Yeah, that's not quite how the formatting works. But, you know, I'm not, okay, anyway, that's, we'll work on that. I thought I would add some photos to it. But overall, I'm very pleased I liked, actually, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, I actually liked the process because I am a writer and it was giving me a chance to pull together so much, and I've come out of it feeling much more confident with what I'm doing. So I'm eager to be in the world talking about it.
Right, great. So I want to add one more thing. If you're finding that you're not using the words you've written in your sales letter, then you might be trying to project an image of what really doesn't fit for you. Like, I want to sound really academic or smart or whatever, and you're using the kind of words you wouldn't use ordinarily. That will backfire on you. You want to be speaking conversationally in ordinary language that everybody could understand and that you feel is your voice. Your voice is, everyone is slightly different. But you want to find your voice. The more you write, the more you find your voice. See, I sometimes read people's stuff and I go, I wish I could write like that because it just blows me away. And there's some things I could learn that could help me, but it's not my voice. You know? So I write how I talk how I write. All right. So next question is, I want to get some promises from the group as to when your letter will be done. Excuse me, I'm getting my, I have my list with all your, can you all see this? I guess you can. List with all the projects you're going to be working on. So I've got Carol's. Okay, Nancy's, when are you going to have text for your flyer? She's doing something a little different for your piece.
I'll have it before our meeting tomorrow.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. So that is the 29th?
Yep. It'll be a draft.
Fine.
I love that idea.
Okay. Sharon Querrington, what's your goal for the first draft that I see? Are you there, Sharon?
Yeah, sorry. I've sent it to you.
You already sent it? When, yeah. Today, this morning?
Today, yeah.
Okay, fine. Good. Leanne's still around? She might not be around.
I'm here.
Okay, Leanne, when can I expect your first draft?
You've seen it. We talked about it.
Sorry, I just didn't check it out. My mistake. Okay, great. Yes, we did. Okay, Sarah, yours?
By tomorrow.
By tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So, and Udo?
I think until Tuesday I'm ready with it.
Tuesday. What's the date? What's the, that's February what? Tuesday, which is what date? I just have to write it down.
Let me see. It's 2nd of February.
Okay, great. 2-2. And everyone else, I've gone over it, I've gotten it, or I have yet to look at it.
There's one point more. I will also use the HOV letter as my single page website in the beginning. So this is, I use it for 2 points, having a sales letter at one thing and getting clear what I want to offer, and then use it directly for the website, using it as a single page website. So get it done pretty fast done then.
Okay, yeah. And when we look at that, we'll talk all about that. And, okay, yeah. Fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a one-page website, and something like this can work, but I'm not going to get deeply into that. Okay, so let's talk about the next thing we're going to talk about is I want to talk about passive versus proactive marketing. Now, in the last two e-zines I've sent, I've talked about this. And when I am leading a group, I tend to write my e-zine thinking about the group members. So if I'm writing it, it's for you. So I request that as part of this program, you read my e-zine because I'm writing it for you. And then we'll often talk about that and, you know, apply it to your situation. So let's see here. So when you're using passive marketing tools to do proactive marketing, it doesn't work that well. And this is something that I've noticed a lot, right? So passive marketing is stuff on your website. It's your blog. It's an e-zine that you're just sending people for information purposes. It is videos, other articles, blog, and also social media. What I see as a trend these days is people are using those things, which are passive marketing vehicles, to try to do proactive marketing. That is, they're blasting stuff out, they're writing a ton of articles, they're putting a lot of stuff on their web, they have a lot of material and content, etc. There's nothing wrong about having good content on your site because it provides a foundation for your marketing and supports your proactive marketing. But you can't kid yourself, or I don't want you to kid yourself into thinking that passive marketing will generate a lot of leads and prospects. After you've got a great website and you're getting more opt-ins over a period of time, you may get direct clients from your website. What I get is through my passive marketing is I get opt-ins that turn into subscribers, that turn into e-zine recipients, that then I can market to. So I market proactively through active promotions. So for people that don't have a big list, the proactive marketing activities are follow-up calls, introductory calls, follow-ups on all kinds of things, which we'll get into in a minute, introductory calls to various potential clients, direct email. Could be direct mail as well. Not many people use that, but we actually talked to somebody recently that direct mail might be good for them. Networking, speaking, teleconferences, webinars, etc. Those are the proactive things. And one way you can tell whether something is proactive or passive, some people go, well, which is which? I'm not sure. Is proactive marketing leads to conversations. If there is no conversations happening, your marketing is too passive. If conversations are happening, you're being proactive. Now, there's all kinds of, you know, exceptions to all of this, and, you know, we can get into that as we go. But the theme, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I had a theme last year in my business. Often I have a theme just for the fun of it. My theme last year was a little less talk and a little more action. Just taking action, doing something. Well, this year, it's reach out and touch someone or have more marketing conversations. So when I do my promotion, I don't just send out the email and have people sign up for my program. I discovered if you've got an expensive program, you must have a conversation. You must chat with them, see if they're qualified, have a selling conversation. So I followed up. Carol, who is sending all of these emails out, might want to take select people in the list that she knows and actually call some of these people and say, hey, I know you got the email. I just want to check and see if you are interested, I'd love you to attend. I think it would be great for you. If you want to chat for a few minutes, I'd be happy to do that. Something like that will increase your enrollment. Years ago, I had a company that said, well, we have a new service that we're offering our clients, and they did medical billing, and they had to let their clients know about a new thing in medical billing. I can't remember what it was. And I said, well, this is simple. Why don't you simply put on a free educational workshop and just invite people? And I said, also follow them up by phone. And they just, this was one of those interesting things where a client acted immediately, got so many clients that they didn't need me anymore like that. I should have charged a lot more. But anyway, we did a mailing, people responded, and then we got people in their office to make the calls, and they filled every single workshop, and they got more clients and more business from that. It was great. But it was like going to the next step, having a conversation. So when you're having a conversation, it's a situation where I have the ball in my court. I'm reaching out to have a conversation, not hoping someone will connect me to have a conversation, because mostly they won't. You meet someone in a networking event, you have a great conversation. They say, your marketing support sounds fantastic, I really am interested. Well, here's my card. And then you say something kind of dumb, like, well, give me a call if you need some help with your marketing. Well, in the history of mankind, no one has ever responded to that kind of appeal. It's just, yeah, maybe once in a while. So, but if you say, hey, I'd love to send you something and I'd love to chat with you, and you follow up to have the conversation, something has a chance of happening. So you're looking for those opportunities for conversations. And some of those conversations go nowhere and some of them go somewhere. If you're totally marketing online, I sold a lot of manuals. I sold 9,000 manuals and made $600,000, and I didn't talk to people. But that's not the kind of marketing most of us are doing. It's great if you can have a big list and do that kind of stuff. But on so many of these big programs, I recommend have them fill out an application, talk to them ahead of time, send them your materials, because people are not usually ready to say, well, I read the letter and I want to sign up today. No one has done that. I wish they would. I mean, it would be great, but it just doesn't seem to work, especially when you're going to spend a lot of money. You have to go through conversations. So maybe you knew that, but I got to emphasize it, because the thing that people avoid most is what?
Getting rejected.
No, that's why they avoid doing this activity, but what's the activity they avoid the most?
Is it phone? Go ahead.
Using your phone.
Using the phone, picking up the phone to call somebody.
Public speaking.
Public speaking for some is harder. It's for you, Carol, is public speaking?
Oh, no, not necessarily for me, but in general, I know that's like the number one fear, public speaking.
You know what? It's not. You ask one of your clients to call a stranger, and then go to Vegas and bet $1 million that they won't do it.
Cold calling.
Just calling, yeah. Now, I'm not saying you should do cold calling, because that's the hardest of all, but just following up someone that you met in a networking event. It will go through, God knows what, a lot of angst in doing that, because it's like, what if I don't say the right thing, and what if they don't want to talk to me, and I'm afraid that if I go and do that, they'll think I'm selling, and I don't want to be thought as a salesperson. I'm not a salesperson. I'm a professional. After all, they should call me like people call a doctor, and blah, 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 all that crap. You have a very serious look on your face, Sarah. She's like,
No, as you were speaking, I thought the thing that people avoid the most is conversation, period. Exactly. So you're talking about selling conversations, and I thought the number one fear is probably conversation.
Well, if any of us been married for a while and noticed that we don't jump into conversation with our spouses as much as we used to, know, we sit by each other and read something, and when they're there, and we're holding hands, and we're chatting a bit, but it's funny. So conversation, we avoid conversation. So you got to embrace conversation and understand how to make conversation work for you. So one of the first things to know about conversation is first, conversations are not about selling. They're not about convincing. They're not about persuading, really. They're not about any hype. They're just about connecting. They're about looking to see if there's a next possibility. See, guys understand this a little bit better because generally guys ask women for dates, and not always. These days it can happen the other way more than it used to, but you know, the man often asks the woman out for dinner, and the woman thinks, well, if he doesn't have the courage to take me out to dinner, I'm not sure he'd be a great guy to be with. I don't know if that's true for you, but it's true in my experience. So even females have to take the proactive part, not the passive part, to reach out. This is often why women feel more comfortable marketing to women and not to men. It feels really awkward sometimes for women to market to men and sell to men, and not always. And sometimes you've got to talk to men, so you've got to figure a way to get past it. And there are a lot of stereotypes that men have about women, and they're denigrated in a lot of ways and not recognized for the genius that they are, and there's so much crap about that. So there are barriers and walls to that that are there, out there, not just in our head. It's true. There are barriers out there. So some people may have gotten past that. It's not a big issue for you. Some people, it might be an issue. So, but you've got to have conversations. So back to what it is. What it is just chatting with somebody. So you have, say, met somebody at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and you've chatted, and they seem like might be a good lead. If they're not a lead, maybe they know somebody. So I'm going to give them some material, such as an article. We're going to be talking about articles in the next session. So we're not going to always be writing conversations. We're going to do a lot of that. So you give them an article, and then you follow up and say, hey, I just wanted to follow up with you. We had a conversation at the Chamber of Commerce meeting or wherever, and I wanted to just find out a little bit more about your business and see if there's a connection between what you do and I do. And I wonder if we could set up a time to chat. And by the way, did you get the article I sent? And maybe they got it, maybe they didn't read it, whatever. And maybe that conversation goes somewhere, or sometimes it doesn't. And they might say, well, right now I don't need any help in this area. And maybe they say, well, who knows where it goes. These are kind of things we'll be practicing one-on-one and sometimes in the group. But it's a follow-up. What my clients discover when doing this is a couple things. Number one, the reaction they often expect is not there. That is, the reaction they expect is people won't be interested, they won't be nice, will get the brush off, will feel rejected, and why would I ever want to do that? Where one of the things one of my recent clients says, Robert, I'm always amazed how polite people are and willing they are to talk to me for a few minutes. Now, he set up these follow-ups by doing speaking engagements. He does a speaking engagement, he gets cards, he follows up, and he's well-received. And as a result, that turns into meetings, selling conversations, and new clients consistently for the past several months. It's really working for him. But if he didn't do the follow-up, it wouldn't work. It would fall apart. So let me just share the screen with you again here.
Do those follow-up conversations all have to be face-to-face, or can they be by phone?
By phone. Mostly by phone. And then later on, you might do face-to-face for selling. Sometimes you do selling by phone these days. Okay, I'm trying to find my blog. Okay, here it is. So what you'll see on this one, if you read this today, here's some things you could do. We're gonna work this into an assignment I'm giving you. So here's some things. Call a past client or associate and set up a time to talk. You can talk in person via phone, et cetera. When you get on the call, it might be that week or sometimes later. So you might have an appointment just to chat. So the reach out is trying to get the appointment. Leave a phone message or an email or both. Talk about what you're up to now and ask them what they're up to. Just talking, brainstorming, connecting like this limbers up your imagination, and you'll come up with some ideas and be open to possibilities. Already, that's happened to somebody just recently. Actually, it was someone I talked to the other day, and he said, I followed up, and we had a conversation, and immediately it turned into a selling conversation. You never know where it's going to go. This is a very safe kind of call. See, there's a lot of different calls you can make, but I'm gonna call somebody that I've already worked with that knows me, but I'm not gonna use this. Maybe he's been a client before, who knows? I'm not gonna say, hey, John, I just want to connect with you and see if there's any new projects coming up. It's kind of mercenary, right? It's that all I'm calling for. I just want to connect with you. You know, we did the project last year. We really haven't connected much, and I just wanted to chat with you and see what's going on. And share some new ideas that I have. If you do that, most people will agree to meet with you. Not always, but most. You know, you remember, this is based on a relationship, and they liked you, and you did a good job. Right? So, Nancy, this is kind of some of the outreach that you're going to do. And we've got a little marketing piece that you're going to use to send them as sort of a icebreaker. But just, it's one of the best ways to start getting new business is call people you already know. Oliver's going to do this as well. We've talked about that. He's got a lot of past contacts. And contacts can lead to contacts. I've always found that when I have conversations like this, they might not be a potential client, but they'll often lead me to a potential client. Something will happen. Some kind of connection will happen. And not always, but it's worth the time. And it's a conversation. It's real. They might have been getting your e-zine for months or years, but they just look at it, and so they feel favorably disposed to you. But then the conversation is a shift. It's something they'll remember. They won't remember all those e-zines, but they'll remember that conversation. So you ask, what value could I bring to this? I'm not trying to sell anything yet. I'm just exploring and talking. And then, you know, at the appropriate time, you might see the opening that turns into a selling conversation. So that's sort of everything I said about that refers to the next one. Call up a current or past client, set up a time to talk other than your paid time, and ask for a referral. You know, this is more applicable with a current client recently you've worked with and produced a great result with. You know, don't say, hey, if ever you think about somebody that might use my services, give me a call. No, this is more of a in-depth conversation. So, John, I know you've been happy in our work together. Who do you know, someone like you, who should know about the work I'm doing? And can you connect me with them? Now, you might have coffee with that person. You might have lunch with that person and ask that person. But look, there is no absolute obligation for them to give you a referral. But if you've done a great job and made a difference, why wouldn't they give a referral if they knew somebody? Often the problem is they just might not be able to think of anybody. But you say, you know, most of the work I do get is from referrals from people that are happy. And I just want to know if there's someone that I ought to be connecting with. And perhaps you could introduce us. So, who is a little fearful of just the thought of doing that? Put up your hand. No, I'm seeing no hands. Okay, well, that's good. Actually, I'm only seeing four of you on my screen here, so let's look at some of the other people. Any fear? Anybody doing that? Okay, yes, definitely. Okay. No, and this is some of these you're going to feel more comfortable with and say, okay, I could start with that. Here's another one. Connect with someone on social media who you've had some exchanges with but don't really know that well. Let this person know you'd like to chat with them briefly. Find a time to talk, and in this talk, just take a few minutes to find out more about what they do and tell them what you do. So this is just someone that's somewhat a superficial connection. So let me just show you an example of this. I'm a member of Wisdompreneurs, which is an online group, and we discuss things, and it's a great group. And one guy, Jason Stein, is someone that has posts a lot, and I post a lot, and we know who we are and what we do. And so I sent him an email yesterday or the day before, Wednesday. It was just yesterday. Hi, Jason. Congratulations on making the move to be 100% on your own. He was working for another one of my colleagues as a coach. Very exciting. You know, you and I have never talked one-on-one. I'd love to set up a time to chat for a few minutes and get to know you better. What's the best time of day for you? Mine is after 3 p.m. I'm on Pacific time. Cheers, Robert. Hey, Robert, thank you. Thank you. He said thank you twice. That's a good sign. I have time on February 11th at 3 p.m. For time to chat if that works for you. Boy, you're busy. Okay, cool. Want to connect via Zoom? My address is, there's my Zoom. Let me know. Yeah, that works. February 3 p.m. Okay, so on February 11th, we're going to chat. And he's well-connected. He knows a lot of people. And I'm doing this mostly to prove that it's not so hard to do. You know, if you have someone on social media that you're already friends, but what's a friend on social media? It really isn't that deep, you know? You don't know much about them. You're just so-called friends. It's sort of false intimacy. Well, why not have a little bit of real intimacy? Look at people that are smart, that are interactive, that say great things. So I can think pretty quickly of 10 people on Wisdompreneurs or more that I could have conversations with. And I could help them. Just knowing about them, there's some ways I could connect them, or they might find a resource for me, or they'll know better about what I do, so that when, and I can say, hey, are you on my easing list? You ought to be. I'd love to put you on it, depending on the conversation, et cetera, et cetera. So this could lead to something, probably not directly, but perhaps indirectly. Doesn't take a lot of time to do it. If you've got space in your schedule, why not set up a few meetings like this and conversations? Now, I could say a lot about social media and, you know, how it works. But if you are in some kind of group that has a lot of discussion, either in LinkedIn or on Facebook, you'll get to know some people, and those are some people you could reach out to. So people like Roberta, who do coaching with small businesses, maybe Carol, I'm not sure, I'm just looking at people on the list, definitely Anne, maybe not Sharon for Facebook, but possibly for LinkedIn. Let's see, other people, Nancy, more LinkedIn, Oliver, possibly LinkedIn, etc. Sarah, possibly LinkedIn. So the only challenge with LinkedIn, there's fewer groups. No, actually, there's a lot of groups. The problem with the groups on LinkedIn is you join a group and then it becomes a spam farm. People think what you should do on social media is just post your articles. In other words, everybody's avoiding conversations.
Robert, this is Leanne.
You want to put stuff out there. Who's this? Who's that?
That's Leanne.
Yes, hi, Leanne.
I just wanted to share my experience. I joined a group on LinkedIn, and honestly, I don't even remember which one, and one of the group members reached out to me. So she used it the way you're talking about. And actually, she and I, you know, after some, you know, scheduling, had a very nice conversation about 30 minutes yesterday.
Yesterday? And, okay.
Yeah, yesterday. And
I love it.
And, you know, we each know some people each other would like to know. And so, like you said, although it's not direct, we're able to connect each other with some good people.
Exactly. So one thing you could do on a LinkedIn group, even if a lot of people are posting articles, you could say, you could look at a couple of the articles and, you know, get a sense of this person. You know, it takes some time, obviously, to do this. In the Wisdompreneurs group, I look at it. Now, I sort of took a break for a while because I was so busy, but now I take a quick look at it. Sometimes I'll post a question or get interaction. If I post a question, the thing about Wisdompreneurs, it's so proactive. They have 12,000 members. At any given time, there's probably 100 people or more looking at it. You will get about 5 to 10 answers within a few hours and interaction. I've had threads that have gone 50 posts. So it's very interactive. And so you get to know those people. Or I look at the latest, scrolling up here, the latest thing. I realize I have to refresh this page. And so this guy has posted something, and I might say, okay, this is something I could comment on, and I'll just go and I'll comment on it. And sometimes I don't comment at all, sometimes I comment a lot. But some there are some LinkedIn groups that work like this, and they don't allow article spamming. People are actually having conversations, but it's never usually as vibrant as Facebook. Facebook tends to get more of the self-employed, independent professional type people, whereas LinkedIn has people that are in corporations or people that are higher level, accountants, attorneys, consultants, that kind of thing. So you can connect at the level you want. So if you go to LinkedIn, just like this person that Leanne is talking about, and say, hey, I saw you're in this group. I noticed you do this. I'd love to connect with you. Maybe there's a time we could talk. And if it's very personal and you're not like spamming 500 people with that same message, you'll get a response and you'll probably get a conversation. So that's something that you can do. That's something that can add the connection to new connections and new possibilities. Any comments about that or any questions about that? Okay, so then I have a couple of reaching out and contributing to and being contributed to, but I really want to focus on these things. So what I want to ask you, and let's go through some people. Well, let me tell you the assignment first, and we'll talk about it. My assignment between now and the next group session is to reach out and connect with 5 people minimum. It's not a lot. 5 people in 2 weeks. Now, it might be for Udo, who's creating this thing, and it's not direct clients that way. He could reach out and talk to people that might understand his business and could give him a bit of feedback. Here's something I'm doing. What do you think about this? And I'd like you to look at my sales letter. See, that's a conversation. That would really be useful. Depending, some people are active on Facebook or whatever. Some people have past clients they really need to follow up with, and those are really could lead to something. Some are not as connected, but maybe there's a possibility of more of a connection. And some are potential leads. It could really be a lot of different things. So let's just look at this person by person. So Sarah Jane, who's someone that you could connect with this week?
I can connect with a former client.
Okay. And what's the opportunity there?
Say that again.
What's the opportunity?
To ask for referral.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to do one. I'm going to leave it to you to figure out what the other 4 are. Might be other referrals. It could be any of these kind of things. Okay, Oliver, how about you?
I have several past associates and clients.
Yeah.
And what I will do is reach out to them and have a conversation about what I'm doing and send them my sales letter and ask them for a little feedback. And then have a conversation afterwards.
Okay. So for a lot of you, it's like, well, I can't make the calls until I have something ready to go. So if nothing else, do low-risk calls just to get used to calling and chatting to people, and that can go someplace even if you don't have your letter yet. See, I want you to get past over-preparer's disease. It's like, well, I think there might be a typo, and 6 weeks later when that's connected, then I'll call. That's just avoidance. Who cares if there's a typo?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not saying a lot of calls, just a few, some kind of outreach. The week after, when maybe your whole letter is online, et cetera, then you can start to ramp that up a bit more. Okay?
Oh, Robert?
Yeah.
I emailed, there's a woman that I took my training with. back 10 years ago when I first got into the leadership development stuff.
Yeah.
She's doing a workshop called the Extraordinary Leader Series in May. Okay. Here. So I just reached out to her and said, hey, I see you're going to be in town. Do you want to get together for a coffee when she comes back? And we're actually setting up a joint venture for the day after her event.
Yes.
Her clients are local people who are interested in the same kind of leadership theory that I do.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's I think that's the kind of thing you're talking about.
It's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like I said, reach out, touch someone, connect with somebody, have a conversation. You know, we think of these and then we don't do it, or we put it off. Instead, I want you to think of it and then write it down and, you know, have a little plan around it. It's a simple kind of plan. Well, what am I going to say? And I might just send it as an email to have the conversation letter. I might send an email. Often what I do is I'll call and send an email. Some people on Facebook are tuned into Facebook. They're always there. So the instant messaging thing can work. So I didn't talk to him yet, but I will later. So however you get through, sometimes it's just a very quick email. I've been thinking of you and I really want to chat. I'd like to catch up and tell you some of the things I'm doing. I'm free these times. Be proactive about the time. Don't say what works for you. Tell what works for you first and see if it works. And some people will be happy to hear from you, and some you will never hear back from. What does it mean? This is an important conversation, but it's a quick conversation. What does it mean when someone doesn't get back to you? Yes, Oliver.
Usually it means that they're busy, they're intending to do it, they're not blowing you off. They just, oh, I'll get around to that, and they just don't.
Exactly.
So you can't take it personally. You just...
Yeah.
It's life gets in the way.
Exactly.
Stuff happens. You
know, that is almost always the case.
Yeah.
Not always, but almost always the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you persist at trying to reach someone, it's the term I use is friendly persistence. Friendly persistence is I call, I send an email, I never make them wrong. I might say, boy, you must be busy these days. I sure would like to chat. Maybe we could do it after hours. Here's some times I have free. You know, if after five times they don't respond, either they're dead or they're ridiculously busy or they just don't want to talk to you. Who knows? Don't take it personally. It's about them, not about you. But don't give up after one shot. Sometimes all it takes is one shot. Okay? But that's, you know, my colleague who wrote the book Snap Selling and Selling to Big Companies, Jill Conrath, she has a phrase she uses. Everybody these days is crazy busy, especially in big companies. They're crazy busy because they're understaffed, they're overworked, it's hard to get their time. That's just the way it is. So you can't change the crazy busyness, but you can, with friendly persistence, ultimately get through. And remember, you could be someone that could solve a big problem for them or help them or provide a resource. People that completely isolate themselves in and out of conversations, that's not good for them. So you realize talking to me will be a good thing for them. Think of it that way. Okay? Oliver?
The other thing is, some people have different preferred modes of communication, and some people will never, ever answer an email or ever call you back, but they'll respond to a text. So you just don't know. You almost have to know who they are and how they'll respond.
Right. If you get my phone message, it says, please leave me an email. It's really hard for me to get to – I hate phone mail tag. So I say, send an email, and then we'll connect, and that works if they send me an email. And if they don't connect with me, then I know it was somebody trying to sell me something I don't want. So that's perfect. Although I do pick up my phone when I'm here. People actually can't reach me, but I'm busy. Okay, Nancy, who are you going to call first?
I have a short list of clients that I worked with in December and November that I think I'll follow up with first because opportunity for not only referrals, but I'll talk to them about what worked and what didn't work. I'm going to ask them what they see as my strengths, because I'm trying to kind of figure out what makes me stand out among my competition, because they could call anybody when they need somebody to do what I do.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing to find out. We had a good conversation about that. You know, some professions are very commoditized. You know, there's a lot of focus group facilitators. Mm-hmm. When you're doing leadership coaching and it's totally off the wall and has interesting things like horses and stuff like that, that's easier to distinguish. But there's a lot of coaches around these days, and how are we different is important.
It's kind of a weird thing. I'm in a weird point in my career where they call me when they need somebody who's good, which is nice, to get at something deeper. But a lot, the bulk of their projects aren't that. And I got to also figure out a way how to remind them, hey, I'm not really going to be more expensive for you to hire on those other kinds of projects. And the quality will be there. So I'm kind of thinking about that. But I feel empowered to call people I worked with recently. It's the people I haven't worked with lately that I'm more nervous about.
Right. Okay. Well, that gets the ball rolling. That's perfect.
Right.
Okay. Roberta.
I'm going to connect with a woman. I reconnected with a woman that I have known for years, and we, you know, see each other every once in a while, but she's recently launched herself into social media consulting. And I met her, reconnected with her about 6 weeks ago, and I've been watching how well she's doing on LinkedIn. It's impressive. And so I want to reach out and have a conversation with her. She used to come to some of my classes, and so young, intelligent. And that's a really good resource for me to have in my network. I don't know anybody that's approaching it as well as she is.
Okay, great.
That's my person.
Perfect. Okay.
Over and out.
Then you got to add four more in the next 2 weeks. Okay. Sarah Jean.
You asked me already. I said I would call a former client.
I apologize. Sorry.
Okay.
I have terrible short-term memory.
And I've been generating another list as you've been talking to other people.
Okay, fantastic. That's good. Yeah, you should be thinking of those people. Okay, Sarah Taylor.
Hi. I actually reached out to a leader in HR consulting here in Calgary last week, and we had an informational interview where I asked her some questions and had just a great meeting with her. And so she actually invited me to a networking event tomorrow night, and I'm going to go there. So I thought that would be a good place to make some contacts and take some cards and that sort of thing.
Right.
I have another couple of people on my list, and I started making my list as well, just like Sarah Jane, of who I want to reach out to. So contact from a large company, and we were supposed to get back together and haven't done that. So I'm going to reach out to him and find out where he's at with that process.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. See, I keep hearing validation that when we connect, the connection expands. Mm-hmm. You know, you met this person, they invited you to networking. You connect with someone there that connects, who could be your best client you've ever had in your life.
Exactly.
That's the possibility. Okay, Carol.
Hey, well, the first thing I need to do is I need to follow up with a phone call I got just yesterday, and they were calling me to market. They want to know when I was available. So this is a colleague that has opened a private practice, and she's hiring a few therapists to work with her, under her, and her office manager is doing marketing for her. So she's setting up these meetings with therapists and whoever else. So she wanted to know when I was available. So I'm going to set something up with her because I should respond back. That would be the first thing.
Right.
Yes.
You're good. Good.
Okay.
All right. Udo.
Well, I have two fellows. One is running a marketing agency, and the other one is running a consulting business. So I will ask them for the feedback from my website and the services I will offer. So, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And I think last but not least is Leanne. She's in her car there.
Yes, but stopped at least. So the person and I really, like, I have a bunch of people. I kind of feel like I got a lot of stuff right now. But the thing that the person I really want to reach out to, and I'm not quite sure how to reach out to her, is a woman. Her first name's Brenda, and I reached out to her on LinkedIn as an initial. Her name came from, you know, I did that business education series at the Chamber, and I had a follow-up meeting with a woman who was wonderful, and she gave me Brenda's name.
Okay.
And Brenda, I'm interested in talking about because somehow, I don't exactly know how, she has connections with the COO Council.
Okay.
And I'd like to be a speaker for the COO Council.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure what to say when I call.
You'll think of something. Yeah. But it works like that. You know, one thing can lead to the other and et cetera, et cetera. So I think we got it. So good. You're on track with this. Now, I am going to have you study the Fast Track Module number 4, Marketing Conversations. You can read it. You can listen to it. You can do the exercises. You do not have to send the exercises to me, but let me just show this to you quickly.
Will you send us the link for that?
Yeah, I'm just going to show you, and I will send the link. I'll always send the link. Okay, here it is, Module 4, Marketing Conversations. So it's not a lot to read. You can listen as well if you want to. That takes more, obviously. But, you know, it's just some of the things we've been saying and other stuff. So read all these modules. There's some on the audio logo. There's more on, because that's your core marketing message that you use that's useful. Asking questions and listening, answering questions, keeping the conversation going, calls to action, follow-up calls. And on the Do It, there's some exercises here. So this might help you kind of as a cheat sheet. Just, you know, we work with these people who have this kind of problem. We've been already talking about your message. That's your audio logo. And number 2 is just some things you might say. What questions would you ask a prospect? Now, again, these aren't all prospects. They're just connections. Some might be prospects, but this might help you a little. But the real exercise is actually connecting with those people. So as much as this supports you, study this a little bit, okay? So I think that's it. We're running a little bit past where I want to go. So that's it for now. I'll see some of you in meetings very soon. A lot of you I'll see next week. And thanks for your participation today. It was great.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, thanks.
Bye.
Okay, end the meeting.